Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Fantasy Footbeer podcast once again. I am James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Stu. Stu, how you doing, buddy?
Well, James, I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. Hope everybody had a lovely Memorial Day weekend, had a little bit of time off of work, if your work allows you that time off. Hopefully you watched the Indy 500. It rained a little bit, but it turned out to be a cool race. They did some cool pre-race, like the helicopters around the track was really awesome. I've never seen them do that before. So it was fun. Had a good time. James, of course, you went to the race. We all want to hear about it. And, of course, how you are doing this evening yourself.
I'm doing well myself. And I got to say, the Black Hawk helicopters at the 500 was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Like, I've been going to the 500 for over two decades. And I've seen a ton of really cool flyovers, Blue Angels, Thunderbirds, Stealth Bombers, all that cool stuff. But this was military helicopters flying at literal eye level around the track over the cars as they're taking their pace laps. Just unreal. So cool. Pretty chaotic race. Just throughout the race and throughout the evening after the race, I was just like, that was a really, really weird race. Like, a lot of weird crashes. Scott McLaughlin spinning out of the pace lap and Kyle Larson not being the best driver on the planet, and Alex Palou being the best driver on the planet. But that's racing, and we are here to talk about football, although I could talk about racing basically all day. Do you want to do that? Do you want to talk about racing all day?
You know, I don't think I could talk about racing this entire time. I don't know that much about it. I go to the Indy 500. I root for whoever I pulled out of our betting pool that I have with my family. Would you believe this year my highest rated person was Scott McLaughlin? That was great to see him spin out and crash before the race started. No, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I'd love to listen to you talk about it for an hour, I think.
Well, that'll probably be a different podcast. For this podcast, we got a good one planned for you today. We're going to talk about the other half of the NFC East. Last week, we talked about the Eagles and the Commies. This week, we've got them boys, the Dallas Cowboys, and the New York Football Giants. And real quick, a couple pieces of news that have come up this past week. The first of them is the Tush Push lives on. The vote happened, and enough of the NFL decided that they are not soft to keep the play intact. Stu, any thoughts?
You know, it's the right decision. You know, just because the Eagles are really, really good at it doesn't mean everyone else can do it too. If you want to get it out of the league, learn how to stop it. And, you know, Jalen Hurts is looking more attractive there in the first couple of rounds at the top three or so quarterbacks taken off the board. Totally fine with it being a rule still.
Especially if you're in a league that has decided to shake up your rules and add a rushing first down, which, hey, as a commissioner, it's a fun wrinkle. Go ahead and propose that to your leagues. I recommend it. The other piece of news, not as fun, is the passing of the great owner of the Indianapolis Colts, Jim Irsay. Kind of a larger-than-life figure. Definitely fit the mold of eccentric, but a truly larger-than-life persona in the football world, in the Indiana and Indianapolis sports world, and he will be greatly, greatly, greatly missed.
Yeah, he had his own, you know, problems with certain substances that are, you know, it's not really anything but well documented. All that aside, he was just somebody that loved his team. He loved the game. He loved the city of Indianapolis. And it really sucks that he's not going to be around anymore. It came, honestly, to me very, very suddenly, just out of completely nowhere. I saw the news within 2 minutes of it breaking and told all of our friends, and no one believed me for a little bit until it was, you know, posted on more reputable sites. So we'll miss him, and it'll be weird for a little while, but that's all right.
Yeah, I mean, as sports fans, not all of us have the luxury of having an owner that actually cares about their teams. Jim Irsay very much gave a damn. He loved his Colts, and he loved to see them win. And that's something that we will very much cherish his memory and the things he has done for us. But with that, I think it's time to get into the current football stuff. And I think today we should start with talking about the fantasy football players you need to know about from the Dallas Cowboys in 2025. And I think we should just start with the most relevant position for the team, and that is for wide receivers. I think they've got two players that are going to be relevant, one of them significantly more so than the other. Stu, you want to kick us off here talking about Sidarian?
Yeah, sure. We could talk about the wide receivers first. So Dallas, 7-10 last year, kind of not a super great finish, but they did have a very obvious hole in their second half of the season after Dak Prescott went down with the hamstring issue. Even despite that, CeeDee Lamb is putting up an excellent season. Over 100 receptions, over 1,100 yards, almost at 1,200 yards. Kind of down in the touchdown department, so that's a little bit of a knock against him. But he has been a set-and-forget wide receiver one for a few years now, and it's awesome to see. Huge fan of CeeDee Lamb. Seems to go about his business the right way. I think we can expect more of the same, or even better in this 2025 season. We'll talk about Dak a little bit later. We'll talk about the new acquisition for the Cowboys. But, you know, a little bit of attention is taken away from CeeDee Lamb now from opposing defenses. And now he's got even better of an opportunity to, you know, put up those big numbers that we're really used to seeing. So you build your team around CeeDee Lamb taken in the first round. You're not going wrong there. You can be happy with how your first round is going if he... it's not really falling to you. If he is there for you to take, you can be quite happy with that. There's really not much else to say. He's set and forget again this year.
Mm-hmm. And he is currently on rankings that I've been seeing and using for studying today. Been going as the wide receiver 3, which, I mean, I don't think a lot of people are going to claim that he should be taken over Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson, but I do think he's in that conversation. I think he's in that top tier, for me at least. You know, Jamar number one. He's probably closer to Justin Jefferson than a lot of people would like to admit.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
A lot of, especially if you're in like a PPR league, CeeDee Lamb is a very, very good get. But probably the more, spicy name for you guys to know out of Dallas and their receiving room is going to be George Pickens. We talked about that trade in an earlier episode, but George Pickens is now the number 2 option for the Cowboys. And I honestly think it's an absolute win for everybody involved. I think it's going to take a little bit of heat off CeeDee. It's going to give a little bit more consistent of a... Well, I tentatively say more consistent of an offense for George Pickens to play under. And at the very least, probably a better quarterback. I mean, do you want to say that Dak Prescott is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson at this point in his career? I'd say probably. Actually, I would say definitely.
Yeah, I would say definitely. Healthy. I would say yes.
Yes. Yeah. But he is now the number 2 option. Not that he, like, commanded 24/7 attention when he was the number 1 guy with the Steelers, but I think that him as a complement supplement whatever it is, to CeeDee Lamb is a perfect role for him. I would love to see him as a flex. I would love to see him as a kind of spot start wide receiver too. Currently, I see him listed as the wide receiver 35, which I think is very cheap for him. Stu, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely a little more risk associated with this one, but honestly, I don't see as much risk as you might want to be afraid of. I think he has more opportunities to do well and have an excellent season than he does to, you know, completely lay an egg and be a disappointment at wherever he's being drafted. You saw a wide receiver 35. I'm seeing wide receiver 32. A couple of the names around him, people like Jalen Waddle, Jameson Williams. I see Jerry Jeudy at wide receiver 30 right there. I definitely would take him over a couple of those names and wouldn't feel too bad about it. If you got him as your wide receiver 3 kind of flex option, that is right in the wheelhouse of you know, expected outcomes that you could really, really benefit. If you got him even later than that, maybe people have soured on him or for whatever reason, you're striking gold, honestly. I mean, even with all the fluctuations in Pittsburgh and playing with, you know, 35-year-old Russell Wilson, he's got 60 receptions, but 900 yards, which is still really good for that number of receptions, 3 touchdowns, so down in that department. But now he's playing in a better offense. Are the Cowboys going to be better on defense? Are they going to be trailing a lot in games? They're up in a division with Philadelphia, Washington. Are they going to be playing from behind, having to throw a lot? We're going to talk about their running backs. There's not a whole lot there to be excited about. So if Dallas is going to win games, they're going to have to do it through the air, and they're going to do it through these two guys. If CD is a lock, George Pickens is... he could very well be a really, really nice get for people in drafts.
I mean, I would be salivating over him at wide receiver 35 if he does end up going there. I don't know what his ADP is right now, but we're still in May, so it doesn't really matter that much. But
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Also in Dallas, wide receiver Jason Tolbert, wide receiver 89. No need to talk about him. So let's go ahead and go talk about the other guy who we've mentioned so far, the quarterback, Dak Prescott. I'm seeing QB 16. We know that he was injured to end last season. Reports are that he's going to be good to go. Streamer?
Definitely streamer category. He's not in that, you know, fantasy wheelhouse where the quarterback also runs and those are the fantasy darlings. That's not Dak Prescott. He's had now a couple of season-ending injuries if you count his broken ankle fibula, whenever that was. So definitely a streaming category, maybe a second quarterback to keep on the bench for opportune matchups, because like I just finished saying, I mean, they're going to have to win games through the air. They're going to have to win games on the strength of his arm. And I think he can do it. I think he can come back, but he's definitely not somebody I'm drafting as my QB1, or even thinking about drafting as my QB1.
I'm not thinking about drafting him, period. Maybe in like a two quarterback league, but even then, if I'm in a two QB league, I'm stacking quarterbacks early and hoping that I don't have to even look at anybody this low. But one thing about the quarterback position in Dallas that bothers me a little bit or gives me pause, behind Dak Prescott, the depth chart goes Joe Milton and Will Greer. History tells us that Dak Prescott probably is not going to play 17 games. And in those weeks that he does end up sitting out, I'm not even going to call it an if, he is not going to play a full season. Who's going to be throwing the ball to CeeDee and Pickens and Jake Ferguson? Is it going to be someone who can get the ball past the line of scrimmage? Is it going to be someone who needs a lot of luck to make passes complete? That's something to worry about, but it doesn't deter me from drafting either of those two receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on that?
I wouldn't hesitate just thinking that Dak is going to go down with injury. You got to just jump at those two receivers. It's too juicy to think, oh no, Dak Prescott might miss a couple games. He's been injured before. That's just not the way you want to think when you're going through your drafts. And the Cowboys have, you know, invested. They invested in the draft. They took two offensive linemen. Their number one pick at 12 was Tyler Booker, a guard from Alabama. So they are trying to shore up that line, which has been excellent in the past, but a little more full of holes recently. So they're trying to protect Dak Prescott. And if he's not going to be running quite as much anymore, there's positive aspects to the injury history, too, that, you know, they're trying to overcome that.
That's a good point. Now, Stu, you mentioned not being excited about the Dallas running back room. There's really three names to think about there: Javonte Williams, Jadon Blue, and Miles Sanders. Go ahead and give us your thoughts on that stable.
Killing me. I was going to push it to you first to talk about this stable.
I think I might have a good zig to your zag
okay.
here, so I want to hear.
Fantastic.
What you said.
Let me just go ahead and cut it down by a third, because I don't think Miles Sanders is going to get meaningful opportunities or any real fantasy relevance. He is over a year removed from any sort of fantasy relevance. He went to the Panthers and basically disappeared off of the face of the earth, and that was with the Panthers. Like, that was not a good team. Coming over to the Cowboys, he's depth at most, not somebody you need to be worried about. So Javonte is going to be the guy to start things. He was moderately serviceable in some weeks with the Broncos last season, but now he's kind of played his way out of Denver. He's leading this committee, I'll call it, kind of just by default, because Jadon Blue?
I think it's Jadon.
Because he's a rookie, I mean, we're leading that committee by default. But Blue is the one guy that I want to own out of the Cowboys backfield, and even then, I would be taking him pretty late in drafts, because he's not going to give you something right away. He's definitely going to be relevant at some point this season, but it's, you know, can you risk waiting that long, and is it going to be that fruitful? I mean, Rico Dowdle was a revelation last year. He did very, very well, and we'll talk about him when we talk about Carolina, because now the Cowboys have let him go. I never understood why they let him go. Maybe somebody can illuminate me on that, but tons of opportunity. I just don't see Javonte being fantasy relevant outside of the first six games, perhaps as a running back 3, 4, or even flex option, and then Jadon Blue, depending on how he acclimates to the NFL, a little bit of risk there as well. James, is that enough of a zig, or did I just zag into your zag?
I think I still got a little bit of a zag. I think that we're on a similar wavelength, but I might have a little bit more intense feelings about it. So for me, I'm looking at Jadon Blue. From the rankings I pulled today, he's the RB55. Javonte is the RB36. For me, I'm a guy who watches a lot of college football. I watch a lot of Texas. And Jadon Blue seemed like a guy to me that every time I watched him, he jumped off the stat sheet, jumped off the tape. He's a guy that I had earmarked as a guy I wanted for fantasy teams. And now he's in a situation where, yes, on the depth chart, Javonte Williams is the guy. He's not going to be the guy. It's going to be Jadon Blue. And if I can get him at RB55, which I guarantee ADPs and rankings are going to adjust, we're going to get some news out of camp that Blue is getting equal reps with Williams with the first squad. If you can get him as a late-round dart throw, I'm aiming very hard to get him. I think he's going to end up being the guy who commands attention in that backfield, and I'm very excited about him. I will be owning zero shares of Javonte Williams. I will be trying to own a good amount of shares of Jadon Blue this fall.
Yeah, absolutely. He won't go super late, but he's essentially what Rico was last year, which was a late round dart throw that ended up hitting. So, you know, he can receive out of the backfield. His average was 5.4 in his last season at Texas, 8 touchdowns, 134 attempts for 730 yards. Looks okay, but, I mean, there were, 12 running backs taken ahead of him in the draft, so we'll see how much work that he gets right out of the gate.
But we can go ahead and start talking about the tight end position. Jake Ferguson is probably one of the more attractive streaming tight ends. Would you agree with that?
Hesitantly so. Right now, the ADP that I'm seeing is tight end 12, which is right around that like Dallas Goedert area. He was definitely hurt by Dak Prescott going down for half the season. He's a favorite target of Dak Prescott, so I definitely would expect him to be in the starting caliber conversation for tight ends. He was definitely a huge disappointment last year, but am I thrilled to get him in drafts? Not particularly, but then again, I'm not really excited about too many tight ends overall in fantasy drafts, James. Do you feel somewhat similarly? I feel like I'm just talking about Dallas Goedert again.
I think I'm going to have the same thing to say that I did when we talked about Dallas Goedert, is this is a good year to punt on tight ends. And, you know, if Jake Ferguson falls into your window of where you're going to end up taking one, all right. I'm really not going to be that excited and or chomping at the bit to go after a guy like Jake Ferguson if he is there in the late rounds because everybody got their tight end and did what they needed to do, then sure, welcome to the team. But, you know, we can afford to talk this much about the Cowboys this week because there's not that much to talk about on the Giants. But we got one more player on the Cowboys, and I think I can sum him up for us in one sentence. Brandon Aubrey is a good kicker.
He is a good kicker, and he kicks in favorable conditions. We'll think that their offense will be better with Dak back, of course, so he's going to have more opportunities. He's going to be one of the first kickers off the board, and he should be.
All right. You want to talk about the Giants?
I do kind of want to talk about the Giants because, I mean, you know, there's like one or two guys that are exciting, but there's still a little controversy. I think I want to pick your brain about a couple guys. Those guys are not Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. That's not the competition that I'm interested in. Neither of those quarterback options are people that you should be targeting or addressing in your 2025 drafts. They are stopgaps while second-round pick Jackson Dart develops a little bit. There are veteran influences. Dart's going to get his opportunity with the clipboard in practice, and he's the future. Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston are not the future. We just need to know if they are able to get the ball to Malik Nabers on a semi-consistent basis. James, do you have anything to say about the quarterbacks overall?
So this might be a good opportunity for us to think about our bet for the year.
Okay.
Because Jackson Dart, clearly taken as the successor. What, successor to who? I don't know. The hopeful quarterback of the future for the Giants. We saw him light the world on fire at Ole Miss. He didn't get a lot of pre-draft attention. I think a lot of people were... He kind of had a little bit of smoke screen closer to the draft where people were looking at him as a first rounder or even a top 10 pick. But what would be a good bet to go with here? Does Jackson Dart start more than seven games?
Does he start more than seven games? I'm slamming the under on that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Just something to think
not
about.
Not a doubt in my mind. Look, they won. They won three games last year, lost 14. They scored exactly 273 points, over a 16-17 game season, that's like not, it's just over 10. I don't know. I don't do mental math. I'm just an optometrist. The Giants are prepared to be bad again, and they're selling this year so Jackson Dart can develop. They're not just going to throw him in like Drake May or someone kind of was.
I think he might do it. I think he might start 7 games.
All right, bet. Put your Jackson Dart jersey where your mouth is.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I think we'll probably do several bets this year. That's just bet number 1. I'm going to take that one. Yeah.
Okay.
Ring a bell, whoever's got a bell. This is bet number 1 on the season.
I'm writing it down.
Jackson Dart over under 6.5 games. I'm taking the over. 6.5 games started. I'm taking the over. Sue's taking the under. But you alluded to it there earlier. Really the biggest name, if not the only name, that we actually need to concern ourselves with in New York is Malik Nabers. He was a rookie last year, stormed out of the gate and onto the scene. I believe he missed a few games towards the early to mid part of the season. He's going as the wide receiver 6 right now, and I have trouble thinking about this as a situation. He was really good last year. You don't see a lot of rookie wide receivers just explode like he did. He does have now an injury history, and last year he did it without really any consistent quarterback play. And normally, if we see these names in the quarterback room for guys that we're looking at to potentially draft, big red flags go up. But Malik Nabers did this last year with first Daniel Jones, then a revolving door of other F-tier quarterbacks. Like, is he going to be Russell Wilson / Jackson Dart / Jameis Winston proof? I don't know. What do you think?
See, if we go from a revolving door of F-tier quarterbacks to someone that I'm going to call a D-tier in Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, I just don't want to pay that price. I really don't. I'm asking too many questions about my first overall selection in the draft. Those people at the top, you don't win your league by taking your first overall draft pick, but you do lose your league if that doesn't pan out. I don't like the risk. I mean, you look at George Pickens, who had Russell Wilson last year. Now he's on a new team. He had a down season, a lot of yardage. We just talked about him. Malik is very, very talented, but I think it's a little too pricey to look at him that early. And that is just a me feeling. Maybe it works out, but I don't like it, James. I really just don't like it.
Now, I will say we had a few different instances last year of wide receivers being incredible despite questionable quarterback play. Malik Nabers was one of them. Justin Jefferson did everything he did last year with Sam Darnold. Not that Sam Darnold did a bad job. He did significantly better than anybody expected him to. There are others who I didn't prepare this point specifically. But basically, if you're going to take him that early, if you're going to take him in the first round or maybe late second round if he falls, is he naturally that gifted that he is going to make it worth it for you to do that? Last year, part of what was great about him was you could take him late and could enjoy the fruits of that. This year, I think I agree with you. I don't want him that early, but
He's going to go that early. It's going to go to somebody. I just don't necessarily want it to be me.
It's like the would you rather have the boat or the mystery box? And anything could be in that mystery box, even a boat. And Malik Nabers is that mystery box. he could be a boat, but you could also take a boat. But other receivers in that room, Wandale Robinson, Darius Slayton. Fun fact about Wandale Robinson, wide receiver 69.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Bench spot for him, sure. Yeah. PPR, darling.
Don't care. Yeah, don't care about either of those guys. Remember when I was really trying hard last year to sell you on Wandale Robinson?
You kept him around on your team for a really long time. But we're at 30 minutes, James. We're running over again. We keep doing this.
All right,
this.
Yep, let's finish
running
up.
Backs.
Running backs, Tyrone Tracy and Cam Scadabo. Tyrone Tracy ended up being a better-than-expected story last year.
Absolutely.
And Cam Scadabo, a Heisman finalist who kind of is a very fun bowling ball style player to watch. Tracy at RB30, Scadabo at RB41, and you got Devin Singletary down there at RB70. Stu, are you taking either of these guys?
I don't think, maybe if they were like my RB4, which, I mean, that would be falling. So maybe Cam would end up on my team. I really am just more interested in seeing how this shakes out. It's going to be super exciting. I thought Tyrone was, he did really good job in what the Giants were as a team, but then they went and took Cam, who's kind of a high profile guy from ASU himself in the draft. So two really young guys. It's anybody's game to see who's going to, you know, emerge as the favorite or the lead back. Maybe it is just a pure committee, but I'm excited to watch it from the fantasy football sidelines.
Yeah, I think I agree. In my mock drafts, which I have been doing, and by the way, you can tell us about how your mock drafts are doing on our socials. You can find us at Fantasy Foot Beer on X, on Instagram. You can email us your thoughts or beer requests at fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com. But this is something I'm pocketing away as morbidly curious. But in my mock drafts, I haven't actually taken a good amount of Tyrone Tracy. Probably should stop doing that. I'm not really expecting that much from him, and I'm expecting Cam Scadabo to kind of take over in the same way that I'm expecting Jadon Blue to take over in the Cowboys. Also, Stu, I know you don't watch a lot of college football, but Cam Scadabo was a fun guy to watch.
Hey.
He was a fun guy to watch play football. You should go and watch some film on him.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if it gets butts in seats, the Giants might play him some more.
Yeah. Not any names to talk about at tight end or kicker.
Nope.
Theo Johnson, Greg Dulcich, and Daniel Bellinger. Graham Gano is the kicker. None of those guys within draftable range. And I think that's all the guys we got to talk about.
I really thought Greg Dulcich was going to be the next big thing in Denver. Anyway,
nope.
Beer time.
Beer time. All right. Stu, what are you doing?
I've got something new. It's not Lagunitas. What? Who is this guy? Brand new Dr. Stu.
Woo.
Okay. Well, I went from Lagunitas, and I kind of swung and missed. So I perused the alcohol line. I found one that had a fun little cactus on it, and I picked it out. It's really not good. It is from Old Nation Brewing Company. This is the Tranquilas with lime. It is an American lager, ABV 5.5%. And it's rated okay on online forums. They've got some fun descriptions of them. It's very lime flavored. You get a lot of lime and not a whole lot of anything else. So I'll get through these four and never buy it again. You don't have to try it now that you know. James, what are you drinking tonight?
Jeez, I guess they can't all be winners. I tonight am drinking from Toppling Goliath Brewing Company, the King Sioux Double India Pale Ale. And for those of you who are into dinosaurs like myself, that King Sioux, this is named after Sioux the T-Rex that is at the Field Museum in Chicago. Toppling Goliath Brewing does a cool partnership with the Field Museum. I went to a members night there a couple weeks ago, and Toppling Goliath was there, and they were giving out samples of their King Sioux beer. So here this is. It is a double India Pale Ale, 7.9%. It is a full-bodied double IPA with Citra hops. It's got mango, orange, pineapple, and I think very heavily grapefruity. But let's go ahead and pop these bad boys in 3, 2, 1. And we get a nice little pour for the microphone.
I was going to say, I hope yours popped pretty well for the audio, because mine is already open. I've already been drinking it. That's how I know how it tastes.
I got, a 6-pack of these, and I'm halfway through them. It's a very hazy beer. Cannot see through to the other side. But as all of you are popping your beers and drinking your beers and enjoying your beers and telling each other, man, I like beer, and also Fantasy Foot beer, enjoy all of that. Stu, any closing thoughts?
Reach out to us on our socials, X, Instagram. We're also taking beer recommendations at fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com, I do believe. Other than that, we will catch you guys next week.
All right. For Dr. Michael Stewart, I'm James Kemp. Everybody, good night. Pacers in 5. Good talk.